This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition, presented by the Western Hockey League, the WHL Radio Broadcast Partners. And here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. It's official. Regina will host the 2018 MasterCard Memorial Cup, the 100th edition of the tournament. The announcement carried live on CBC's Hockey Day in Canada. And we'll dig deeper into that. We'll hear from Bid Committee Chairman and Pat's co-owner Sean Semple in moments. A star is in the making in Saskatoon. He's 15-year-old Kirby Dach, and he's turning heads. More on the second overall pick of the 2016 Bantam Draft, now in a full-time role with the Blades. And Seattle Thunderbirds D-man Ethan Bear is the WHL Player of the Week. He'll join us to close out the show. First up, it was the announcement the Regina Pats, their fans, and the WHL was waiting for. And it came live on Hockey Day in Canada with host Ron McLean.
Next year, there was a lot of talk. What do they do for the 100th anniversary of the Memorial Cup? And they've come up with the perfect solution in terms of a celebration. Regina will host the 2018 Memorial Cup. That ties in nicely because of the history of the Memorial Cup, because of its historic connection to our military, and because of the fact the Regina Pats are the oldest franchise in junior hockey in our nation.
Sean Semple is the Pats Bid Committee Chairman and team co-owner and joins us this week.
Well, I think we're very excited as well to be bringing the Cup here in 2018. Obviously, the Pats playing in the very first Memorial Cup, and now to have a chance to play, or will be playing in 2018 in the 100th Memorial Cup, is very exciting.
What do you think, you know, had your bid stand out amongst the others? Because I think a lot of people thought that maybe Oshawa would be the favorite heading in, but you guys were able to snag it. What do you think the difference was?
Well, I think, I think there was a lot of competitive bids between the three different teams. I think what really stood out for the Pats that were going into it was really our 100-year history ourselves. Next year represents our 100th year as a team. Our close affiliation also with the military, being named after the Patricias. I think those were strong assets going in. I think maybe other assets that we had were really, it really wasn't about the Pats. It really was about a national celebration of the Memorial Cup and really what it stood for. And I think we had a good plan put together that laid out kind of a year-long celebration and to really memorialize and remember the commitments that the military make every day.
Regina last hosted in 2001. For fans that were at that event, and I was at that one as well, I'm sure the Memorial Cup has taken on a different look, more prestigious, and what are some of the things that will make it bigger and better in Regina this time around?
Well, some of those we haven't released to the public yet. What I can tell you at this point is that it will be more than a 10-day celebration. We have many events that will happen throughout the year. We're hoping to engage the teams across the country so that it's, again, a national celebration. And so we will be announcing these in short order, but there will be many events.
Sean, there was a rumor that perhaps that Mosaic Stadium, brand new facility in Regina, could be part of an outdoor game. I know you probably can't let the cat out of the bag, but is that at all something that maybe we could expect?
You never know.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. That'd be great to see. When it comes to your new ownership group there, it's only been a few years since you took over the Regina Pats. To get an event like this, just a few years into ownership, you guys have to really be smiling to land something like this.
Well, we are. We are. We're very fortunate. We feel blessed that the CHL had the confidence in our ownership team and in the Pats and in Regina to host this. You know, when we purchased a team 3 years ago, it really was the plan to bring the Cup here for the 100th anniversary. I mean, the Pats has been a long time since they've won. 1974 was the last time. We wanted to celebrate the Pats' 100th year as well as the CHL's 100th year and the close connection to the military. So it's really been a three-year plan in development of this, and that's why we put a good bid forward and why we went out and got a coach like John Paddock to kind of lead the team and create the competitive environment for the team as well. We've been obviously playing pretty good hockey as of late.
Yeah, you sure have. I was just going to ask you about John Paddock. He's been very aggressive the last couple of years here, trying to get a competitive team on the ice here. As we speak, ranked number two in the CHL, the top record in the WHL. But, of course, next year as well, you'll want to be competitive. How confident are you that you can, you know, carry it over this season, perhaps with a playoff run, and then be a top team again next season?
I think we're very confident in that, and you've probably saw that in some of the trades that we made this year. We traded for, you know, some 18-year-olds that would be not only strengthen our team for this year, but also not sell the farm and build the team for next year as well. And, you know, when we set out to build the Regina Pats, we didn't want to sacrifice and go for the cup and then, you know, not have a competitive team in the future. So the next 2 years, we will plan to do exactly the same, as to build a franchise for the long term.
Here we are about 15 months out. What will be some of the big work, the major work that'll need to be done in preparation there? Anything that needs to be built? Anything that needs to be still set up before you guys hit the ice to host that event?
Well, I think, I mean, from a hockey team standpoint, I think John's got that well in hand. He's got a plan. He's working. I think the facility, we have many improvements that the city of Regina and Evraz are putting into the facility. So I think that's well at hand and working. I think, you know, obviously introducing our bid organizing team to the public, which we haven't done at this point, will be probably our first order. And then laying out our plans for the whole year will be following that. And I guess following all of that will be obviously going to this year's Memorial Cup to really see, you know, close up how the Memorial Cup is organized and ran and so on, so we have experience going into the 100th anniversary Memorial Cup.
Sean, it was a win for the Pats, a win for the city of Regina, and maybe most importantly, a win for the WHL to land the 100th MasterCard Memorial Cup. Great job with that bid, and we look forward to hearing some of these details coming out for the event set for May of 2018. Great job. Bid committee chair, co-owner of the Regina Pats, Sean Semple. Thanks for being our guest here on WHL This Week.
Thank you, John, and we look forward to people joining us from across the country for this one unique 100th anniversary championship.
This is the WHL This Week, presented by the Western Hockey League.
Saskatoon Blades 15-year-old forward Kirby Dock has put the WHL on notice.
Hayek ahead for Dock on a breakaway. Kirby Dock, it deeks to the back end. Scores! Hey, Kirby Dock's first Western Hockey League goal is a thing of beauty. And it's 2-0 Saskatoon. Folks, there's the future of the Saskatoon Blades right before your very eyes.
The Blades traded up in the 2016 WHL Bantam Draft to get Dock, swinging a deal with Vancouver to move up a spot to number 2 in the draft order. Dock was then recalled on a full-time basis after getting clearance from the WHL and Fort Saskatchewan Minor Hockey. And getting that first career WHL goal, a big moment.
Yeah, it was pretty special for sure. I won't forget that. I think the first four games that I've affiliated for really helped me understand how what it takes to play at this level and be the top of this league, and I think I have a pretty good understanding of what I can do.
But he wasn't done in that first game as a full-time member of the Blades.
Turns it over. Here's Dock moving his shot. Scores! Kirby Dock puts the Blades back out in front 3-2.
He said he's a playmaker. Typically. He's got some hands.
Blades head coach Dean Brockman.
With him being a full-time Blade was just great for us. We know that's a part of his future down the road, and right now it's just really about trying to settle in.
As for how Dock would describe his game.
Right now I bring an offensive skill to that team and see the ice very well. I understand the game tremendously. Those assets help make players around me better.
Brockman still wants him to develop those special talents.
Just his ability to see the ice, you know, really, you know, he's got a phenomenal skill set that way, and, you know, he's got a feel for the game, and, you know, that feel is pretty special, and as he gets older, he'll get a little wiser and a little smarter, and, you know, just his skill set is really a lot of fun to watch.
The Blades, meanwhile, find themselves battling for the final wild card spot of the Eastern Conference with less than a month to go in the regular season.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
The Seattle Thunderbirds continue to gain momentum. Defenseman Ethan Bear is the WHL Player of the Week, and voice of the T-Birds, Tom Boining, sat down with him.
For the third time this season, a Seattle Thunderbird has been honored as the Western Hockey League Player of the Week, joining his teammates Alexander True and Matt Barzell as T-Bird defenseman and Edmonton Oilers prospect Ethan Bear. And Ethan, it's always an honor to be recognized at this level, and obviously you've had a pretty good week with 10 points over 5 games.
Yeah, I know it feels good. You know, everything seems to be going the way I want to so far, and that's good. And, you know, the team's looking good. So it's been nice to get a couple wins, and hopefully we can keep it going.
I know you've been busy. A lot of the Edmonton media has been in contact with you recently over the way you've been playing and the points you're piling up. But the one thing I notice in most of those interviews that you're doing is that, first and foremost, you're going to talk about your game inside the defensive zone and that 200-foot game you play, and that the offense is kind of a byproduct of the way you play at that end.
Yeah, I know. I like to take care of my own end first and make sure that's all good before I get to jump in the offense. And I think it's been working good for me, and I like the way I get to play the game that style. But, you know, it's, you know, it makes it more interesting when you do get the chance to get up front and help out in the offense. So, you know, I got to take care of my end first, so it's all going good.
With the way the team has been hit with the injuries here the second half of the season and how well they are playing, part of that obviously is the chipping into the offense that you are doing. So while you're certainly going to concentrate on that defensive end, the team has certainly needed the points you've provided them.
Yeah, we've had quite a bit of guys go down of lately, but, you know, I think not just myself has been stepping up, but a lot of younger guys who, you know, we've been counting on them a lot, and they've been doing their part. So, you know, it's good to see that everyone's connecting and we're all gelling well. So with guys like that, that's key with guys out. So, you know, hopefully we can keep that going.
I know it's been 4 or 5 months since you were at camp with Edmonton, but some of the things that they told you before you left, how have you incorporated those into your season?
No, not too much. They didn't ask for much, but just, you know, play my game. I play hard. You know, I'm going to play a lot of minutes, so, you know, it's not easy. And, you know, I just try to play hard, keep her simple. And, you know, when I play against those top lines, you know, you got to play smart, and, you know, they really keep you on your toes. So, you know, I'm not trying to focus too hard on what they're doing, but on what we're doing either, but just playing hockey.
Speaking of playing against top players, one of your Edmonton Oiler fellow draftees is Caleb Jones down at Portland. In the last few games, you've had a chance to go up against them. And is there a bit of a friendly rivalry when you guys play each other at this level?
Yeah, there's a rivalry for sure. You know, like, you know, Portland and Seattle, like, we've gone back a while with the rivalry. But I think me and Jones, you know, are pretty good buddies. So when we do play each other, we want to win. And, you know, we keep it friendly and we keep it honest. So, you know, it's fun and it keeps a little bit more exciting for me and for him as well. So I think it's good. I like it.
Would you be surprised if I told you that with all the points you piled up recently, you're now number two all-time among defensemen for scoring for the T-Birds? Only one guy ahead of you is your former teammate, Shea Theodore. You're 28 points behind him. It would take a big effort, and I'm sure you're not going to concentrate on that. But does that surprise you that you've almost caught him?
Yeah, I guess it's pretty cool to think about. I haven't really thought about that much, but now that I know, it's pretty sweet. Theo's a good player, and you know, to get in that range and that points, and you know, it feels good. It does feel good, so you know, it's a good feeling.
And the first defenseman in the T-Birds since, I think, 94-95 when Darren Quint had it to score 25 goals in a season. It's been over 20 years since that's been accomplished, and you're the guy to do it. And again, Theo never did it. Obviously, his last season was cut short, but obviously that's another, you know, big feather in your cap.
Yeah, no, it feels cool to get that amount of goals, and, you know, it's a good feeling. I've got a lot of guys who've said some good things to me about it, so, you know, it feels good, and I just want to, you know, I want to keep it rolling, but not let it get to me.
Well, again, congratulations on the honor. I know there's bigger fish to fry, if you will, going forward here as the T-Birds head to the playoffs, but congratulations on that recognition.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hey, and that's the show. I want to say thanks to our guests and special thanks to Tom in Seattle for his help. I'm John Keane, and thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Western Hockey League in cooperation with the WHL Radio Broadcast Partners, a production of NL Broadcasting Limited, Kamloops, British Columbia.